Before we open God's word together, let us pray. Our gracious and merciful Father who art in heaven, Lord, before we open this, thy word of life, this eternal word of God, to read from its timeless truth and its life-giving power, we come before thee in humility, knowing that we are here just for a very short time. And our strength is weak, but thou art able to do all things. We pray, O Lord, that thou would be present with us as we would unite our hearts in worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and look to thee for wisdom, for strength, for that light that only comes from thee. Dear God, we pray that thou would bless thy word this evening to one and all, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's help, I desire that we would read a few verses from Matthew chapter 9. Perhaps we could read the first 34 verses. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier, to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then said he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose, and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bridechamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him. And so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of devils. Desire to conclude with verse 34. Beloved, when we read this passage of Scripture together, and it records event after event and miracle, and the amazement of the people every single time, it's like recalling the memories of the past together. Fond memories of what the Lord has done. And the compassion that he showed as he walked on this earth. John writes that in his gospel, he wrote these things that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And perhaps Matthew wrote these things, so that our hearts would be melted with love as we see the tenderness of Jesus shown to one and all. And also, beautiful thread that's woven through these accounts is the power and the beauty of those who intercede on behalf of those who are in need. We see that Jesus came into his own city, a place where perhaps he wasn't accepted readily, but there were enough people that it drew a crowd. And there were friends of a man that was sick and lying on a bed, and he wasn't able to go see Jesus. He wasn't able to get up. And he wasn't able to find the hope and the help that he needed. He simply wasn't able. But he had some friends, and they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus, seeing their faith, he said to the man, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." An incredible promise. An incredible blessing. To hear those words, that weight can be lifted, that burden that is lifted at Calvary can be rolled away, and sins can be forgiven. It almost sounds too good to be true. And some believe that it is. And some that were there believe that it was. The scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." But Jesus was not content just to win the faith of these four, perhaps, and the man that was on the bed. He longed to win the faith of all. And he did not leave it with just this statement of this man's sins being forgiven, something that they could not see. But he gave an evidence. He gave an evidence of his power. He gave an evidence of his word. And he asked them, "Which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and walk?" Well, they could see if this man would arise and walk if Jesus had any power. And so that they would know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Sometimes we reduce it to an equation. What do you need to pay? It's not reduced to an equation. There's one focus and one central theme of the Word of God, and that is Jesus Christ. And he has power on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the man, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy house." And he did. And everyone that was doubting saw it. And they had some evidence of the power of the word of Jesus Christ. And so we ask ourselves, why did they doubt? And why did they go one more day without becoming his disciple? But can't that question be asked of us as well? And in particular, those who are still doubting, those who are still questioning, those who still have not surrendered. What is your life? What did it take for you to be able to fall asleep last night and to wake up alive this morning? How many systems in your body were working properly? How many things that we often take for granted? And God is taking care of each of them because you know you're not in control and I'm not in control of those things. He gives you evidence every single day that he's near. Why do you turn away? And why do you ignore all these things? All the proof that he has given, all the things that you have seen, all of the stories in the Bible that speak of God's faithfulness and how he had worked with the children of Israel, and how a wonder it is that they still exist to this day. How can that be? God's proven himself time and time again. What more does he need to do? He needs to demonstrate the power of the resurrection. He longs to demonstrate the power of the resurrection, brothers and sisters, in our lives, to bear a clear testimony that he does live and that tomb is empty, and that he rules in the hearts of God's children, and that he changes lives, and that he frees from sin, and he gives hope and redemption and salvation, and he is ever present and near, such that we as God's children are content and not seeking for more of this world, but more of him. Where could more content be given than Lord Jesus Christ with thee, unto whom in earth and heaven power belongs and majesty? Jesus Christ is the focus of the scriptures, the anointed one, the one in whom the Father is well pleased. He longs to win hearts in faith, and he gives demonstration of his power, and he also gives a promise of that forgiveness. Next, he passes forth from thence, and he sees a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said to him, "Follow me," and he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. The Pharisees find fault, and they question, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus gives a word that we often need to hear. We often need to hear when we are empty and when we are weak, that there is a physician. There is a physician who comes to tend and to give medicine and to care and to spend time with those who are in need. And that's who Jesus is. And he's coming to call each of us out of sickness, out of sin, out of its bondage, out of its burden, out of its pressure, into rest and wholeness and freedom. And you and I need him. And it's hard to admit that. And the Pharisees had their blind spots, and they missed this. And they missed a great blessing. Because things were going good for them. They were at the top of their social groups. They had influence. People weren't People were looking to be like them. And they missed why Jesus came. They missed the blessing that God promised to Abraham that would be extended to the whole world. And Jesus even told them, you're going to see people coming from all of the different directions, and you're going to be cast out of the kingdom. What will we do with this physician? Will we say that we have no need of him? Will we say, well, I took his medicine once. That's great, and now he can leave me alone. Or do we need him day by day, moment by moment, every hour? Do we hear his call, calling us out of sin, calling us out of ways that don't please him, ways that will hurt us, calling us to repent and to change and to turn? That's the prescription of this physician. Calling to repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. I'd like to skip down to perhaps verse 27 when Jesus departs from the house of a certain ruler after he raises his daughter. And there's two blind men. And it doesn't say it here, but they didn't see any of these miracles. But somebody narrated them to them. Somebody told them the story of what had happened. And that was enough to convince them that Jesus is the Son of David, the one that was promised to come. And they pled for mercy from him. Our children, none of them have seen the miracles that Jesus Christ has done. But we as parents and we as those who are believers, we get to explain, we get to narrate the story to them. We get to share in hopes that they would also apprehend by faith that Jesus Christ truly is the one whom they need, the one who is sent for them, God's only Son, the Son of David, the one to whom they have to go to find mercy. And there is a work of intercession yet again, that someone cared to share with them these two blind men so that they would know. And they begin crying out. They begin calling to the Lord. This is the profession of faith. But Jesus keeps walking. And he goes into a house. And now what will they do? Now this is the test of faith. The test of faith is always accompanying the profession of faith. Because faith must be proved, whether it is real or not. And will we be persistent? Will we continue? Will we be patient? And will we stay with the Lord? That is what matters. Not the beginning, but an end. And that continuation. He came into the house and the two men came to him. They continued. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Do you believe that the Lord can do anything? If he cannot, then he's not who he says he is. And if he's not who he says he is, then we're all hopeless. But if he is able to do anything, then we're to believe. We're not to doubt. And that gives us hope. He comes alongside us, and we're able to continue with his help and say, "Yea, Lord." And so he touches their eyes. He touches them. He reaches out his hand, and he speaks his word, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened. These men did not need to see in order to believe. But after they believed, they saw. And that isn't that how so many things in the spiritual life are? We have the Word of God and we know the stories. We have them memorized. We know them by heart. We tell them to our kids. We remember them. But when we are in a situation where we truly need to rely upon that and trust in it, that is when our faith is exercised and tested. And that's when we see how true God is. Not before. We just know a little bit before. But to be persuaded and to be sure, it only comes after the test. But just a mustard seed is needed. Just a very small amount. Just something that would seem insignificant maybe to you or to someone else. Jesus is able to work with it when we bring him our all. When we stay persistent in the faith and we keep following him, even though it looks like he's walking into the house, he has something in store. Continue with him. Don't fall behind. Catch up to him. He will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. He is that physician, and there's no one else that we can turn to. He's a tender shepherd. He cares for every little one. So they go out, and as they go out, yet again, one more time. They brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Somebody who doesn't know what to say. Somebody who doesn't know how to express anything. But somebody took the time to bring him to the Lord. Somebody took the time to care. And Jesus does great things yet again, such that the people and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." The Lord is good. And the Lord shows us in these examples a heart of tenderness and compassion to fill our needs and to help us. We need to hear his call. His call for sinners to turn in repentance. We need to hear the call to faith and to believe and not to stay in doubt. He does the work. We trust in him. He's the one who's strong, who carries us upon his shoulders and helps us as his sheep. May the beautiful memories of Jesus' compassion and love as he expressed his power and kindness to these many individuals, may it melt our hearts in love for who Jesus is. and may the example of those who interceded, may that encourage each of us to take the time to say a prayer for somebody who's in need. And to remember where we need to go. May God bless his word. Amen.